The title of the message is Fallen from Grace. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." These are stern words from the heart of the apostle. These words reveal Paul's devotion to the truth of God as it is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Salvation is by Christ alone and not by the works of the law. Many do not seem to understand the gravity of this truth. They confound the truth of God in Christ by teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, placing Christ among a list of various necessities for salvation. Every believer is to stand fast in the liberating grace of Christ the Lord, with which grace Christ has freed us from the bondage of working for justification before God by the deeds of the flesh. To stand fast and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage are commands expressed in honor of the truth of God's grace in Christ. These commands are in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Any attempt at justification before God by even one deed of the law indebts one to the law as a whole. This is what the apostle says in verse 3. "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law." Paul's "for I testify again" leads us back to a previous statement. Here's the statement: "For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." That's what the apostle wrote in chapter 3 of this same epistle, and verse 10. Excuse me. The law never justifies any man before God, according to verse 11 of that same chapter. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." The giving of the law was never another way, but it reveals the absolute necessity of Christ and the gift of faith, according to the Apostle Paul, as it goes on in chapter 3, verses 15 through 29. You can read that. But listen to what it says, just a few verses here. Verse 21, "Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." See, to seek justification before God by obedience to even one command given in the law, by the nature of the commandments themselves, is to confine oneself liable to obey every command in the law. Those in such a position are under the curse for not keeping even one command among the hundreds of commands given in the law. There are far more than the Ten Commandments people are fond of mentioning. Justification by the law demands that all be kept perfectly to escape the curse, and there is not one person who can escape that legal curse by deeds. If you read what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 3, that great litany of judgment against the human race, both Jew and Gentile, bond or free, male or female, rich or poor, it does not matter. There is none righteous, no, not one. But then in the last section of that Romans chapter 3, listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Let me just turn to it. "Now we," in verse 19 of Romans 3, "now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, that is, in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, the apostle is not comparing the best way to an alternative way of justification before God. When Paul says, "Whosoever of you are justified by the law," he is not indicating some have chosen the more difficult way of justification. To adopt a doctrine of justification by the deeds of the law is not an alternative way, but it is to repudiate Christ and fall from grace. Whether realizing it or not, this is to say that Christ is of no profit. It is to say he is worthless in the area of justification before God, according to Apostle Paul in chapter 5, verse 2. Listen, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Verse 4, "Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." It is complete inconsistency for a person to be trying to save themselves while professing to trust Christ wholly for salvation. Among religious societies in our day, falling from grace has been given a totally different meaning than is expressed by Paul. It is interpreted as a believer leaving the service of Christ and practicing a sinful life of earthly pleasures and lust. It is even taught by some as one losing his salvation. These have nothing to do with what Paul calls falling from grace. Is circumcision a sinful practice? I asked you. Is circumcision a sinful practice? Is tithing a sinful practice? They are when done for merit before God. How many do we hear demanding our giving of the tithe to gain God, the blessing of God? Many. On every hand, everywhere you turn, people are talking about giving your tithe to get the blessing of God. This is what Paul rebukes here. God's blessing of the elect flows freely by grace through the person and work of Christ. Listen to Paul in Romans chapter 8, and just listen to just a few verses. Verse 32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Now, who's these all? Who's this us here? Look at verse 33. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." In Christ Jesus, neither tithing nor not tithing availeth anything, but faith which is energized by love. That's the same thing as if when the Apostle Paul says in verse 6 of Galatians 5, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." You see, if you tithe for God's blessing, you must be circumcised for his blessing. If you're circumcised to try to gain the blessing of God, you must tithe to gain the blessing. You must keep the Sabbath day, that is, from Friday evening at 6 p.m. until Saturday evening at 6 p.m. with very strict and stringent stipulations. So again, if you do try to obey one command in the law to gain the blessing of God, to be justified, to be right in God's sight, then you have indebted yourself to keep the whole law. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying in chapter 5 and verse 3. "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised." Put in there every man that tithes. Put in there every man that keeps the Sabbath. Put in there all the other commands. "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law." Sadly, thousands of people, in practicing the deeds of their own hands, have not fallen from grace. Does it amaze you that I said that? Here's why I said it. One cannot fall from where they've never been. Many are devoid of grace altogether. Their legalism is not a having fallen from grace, but a being steeped in works from the beginning. Others may know of the true doctrines of grace, such as God's gracious sovereign election, predestination, the redemption of God's elect by his blood, regeneration by the sovereign Spirit and conversion by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they have never experienced these things as a reality in their lives. These may fall from an outward profession of faith, but they are devoid of the gift of faith in Christ the Lord. Some have been brought by grace to know the Christ of God, but through craftily deceptive teachers, they are bewitched into religious conduct. Not necessarily immoral conduct, but religious conduct, which is contrary to grace. And this is what the apostle told the Galatian people. Listen, the Galatian believers. Galatians 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Then over in chapter 5 again, verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. These are the only ones who have fallen from grace. But they have not fallen out of grace, for the Lord himself, according to Galatians 5 verse 10, the Lord himself will act in gracious faithfulness toward them. Falling from grace is real, and not just a hypothetical theory we are warned of to keep us from falling. For we already read verse 7 of chapter 5, right? Ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? But falling from grace is not being saved and then lost again. Some may suggest that if this is true, then falling from grace makes no real difference and is not important. However, my being saved is not the only important thing. What about the honoring of the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ? What about the effect such falling produces in the assembly as a whole? This is important because he goes on, the apostle does in chapter 5 in verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Is being taken advantage of by a con man unimportant so long as he gets my money and does not take my life? The con's goal is not my life itself, but my goods. The religious con's goal is not to take my salvation, but his own personal glory in my obedience to his words while rejecting the truth of Christ. And this is what the apostle goes on to say in Galatians chapter 6, verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair shew in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Falling from grace is to be taken advantage of by a con man. A believer may be conned of his grasp of the truth, but he cannot be separated from God's grasp on him. And this is what our Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10. Listen. Verse 27, I'll just start with verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Once those conned are revealed their situation by the Lord, they are given a mind to escape the trap. Mere professors of religion, however, have not only been conned, but they become knowing, willing participants in the scam. The doctrine of the perseverance of the saints is not our own inability to be conned, but the Lord will not allow the con to continue indefinitely. Why would the sovereign of the universe even allow such a thing to happen in the first place? While we cannot search and discover all the sovereign Lord's mind and purpose, he has revealed some things in his word. For the hypocrite, it is God's justice in giving them what they want and what they deserve. Now, I'm not going to read that, but you can study that in Romans 1, verses 18 through 25, and in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For the people of God, it reveals our own weakness and the susceptibility of our being conned and falling. You remember Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12? He that thinketh, he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Now, I realize that's in the context of great immoral failure, but even that great precept stands here. Let everyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall, because we are very weak and we are very susceptible to be conned and to fall. The very reality that we can be conned and fall demands that we seek the truth of God continually and faithfully. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesian believers in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now here it is. That ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. For a believer to seek to live under the demands of the law rather than under the lead and liberty of the grace of God is like a prisoner of war being released from his captors but desiring to return to the cage in which he was held. His being freed is no license to live to the dishonor of his liberators, but rather to live in defense of them and that which they represent. So it is with every believer in Christ. He is not liberated for self-service, according to the Apostle Paul in chapter 5, verse 13. Listen to what he says. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Then again in verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Nor is the believer liberated to self-praise. Listen to chapter 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. But now listen to verses 15 and 16. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. May God in his grace enable us to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Come to all their dead, defile, and all.